The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Feel the need for speed.
Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
I love you. It's never having to say you're sorry.
He's looking at you, kid.
Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
No, I am the father.
I'm Batman.
I'm Spartacus.
Bond. James Bond.
Well, that means it's time again to go behind the scenes of another movie classic.
Why was there another team?
What?
Of IMF agents at the embassy tonight.
I don't quite follow you.
Let's see if you can follow me around the room. The drunk Russians on the embankment at 7-8 o'clock. Couple waltzing around me at the embassy at 9 and 11. The waiter standing behind Hannah at the top of the stairs. Bow tie, 12 o'clock. The other IMF team. You're worried about me. Why?
Well, for a little over 2 years, we've been spotting serious blowback in IMF operations. We have a penetration. The other day, we decoded a message on the internet from a Czech we know as Max.
The arms dealer.
That's right. Max, it seems, has two unique gifts, a capacity for anonymity and for corrupting susceptible agents.
Oh, corrupting susceptible agents. A scene from the film that kick-started one of the great action franchises, Mission Impossible, the original, 1996. And to tell us all about it, television producer with Mind the Gap Films, Bill Hughes. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, I don't know whether they intended there to be a franchise, but film number one was terrific. Remind us of the plot.
Well, the whole thing is based on the television series. So the character played by John Voight, sent to Prague for a mission to prevent the theft of classified material. And his wife, Claire, and his trusted partner, Ethan Hunt, played by Tom Cruise, were members of the Phelps team. But something went horribly wrong. The mission failed. And Ethan had to go and explain to his superiors, that the head of the agency, that the whole thing is gone. So the head of the agency then identifies that the culprit is actually Tom Cruise, which is wrong. So Cruise then spends the film trying to prove that he is innocent. And he has to deal with Max, that we've just heard mentioned there, played by Vanessa Redgrave. It comes as a surprise to them that Max is actually a woman. And she's this international arms dealer. So the whole thing. But as in keeping with Mission Impossible, both the TV series and any other element of Mission Impossible, the whole thing is convoluted. Of course it is. But that's half the fun and the pace of it. And Paramount had wanted to make a movie version of the TV series for years. And they'd tried all sorts of people. Like George Clooney, they'd lined up to play Ethan Hunt, and he turned it down because he was making One Fine Day. Then they offered it to Bruce Willis, John Travolta, Nicolas Cage, Ralph Fiennes, Mel Gibson, and even Jean-Claude Van Damme, who turned it down. Then they gave it to Tom Cruise. And once Tom Cruise came on board, he had a production partner, so Cruise Wagner Productions, and together they decided to make it. So they went to Paramount and said, "We need $70 million." And Paramount said, "No. We're thinking more $50 million." And Cruise was adamant that in order to make it the way he wanted to make it, they needed to up the ante and give him lots of money, because he had so many grandiose plans. And to be fair to him, Cruise, really, it was his imagination that really added to it. And then by bringing Brian De Palma on board as the director, because Brian De Palma had done Scarface and stuff, but initially they had Sidney Pollack as the director. And even before that, they had John McTiernan, who had made Die Hard, as the director. So, I mean, the convoluted casting and production was as convoluted as the plot. So the next thing, the big sequence that Tom wanted was a glass walled restaurant with a giant lobster tank in the middle. Everybody will remember that scene if you've seen the film. And if you haven't seen the film, you're in for a real treat, because it's so spectacular. And it was Cruise's idea. Even though there were 16 tons in all the tanks, and there was a concern that when they detonated, there'd be so much glass flying around and water that whoever was in the middle of it could drown, could die. Mm. And so they tried it with a stuntman and said it wasn't as effective. And they asked Cruise, would he do it? And Cruise was game for, yeah, I'll do whatever.
And he's been putting his life on the line ever since in the rest of the franchise, doing famously his own stunts. Now, there's a twist to this tale, but the audience has never got to see the twist because George Lucas said, take this bit out. What was that?
Well, George Lucas owns Industrial Light and Magic, and Industrial Light and Magic was the special effects company they were using. So he was getting to see the film and the rushes. And he saw an early scene that was a romance, a kind of a sophisticated romance, a love triangle between the John Voight character, his wife played by Emmanuel Baer, and Tom Cruise. And when George Lucas saw it and the test audiences saw it, George Lucas said, take it out because it's taking the film out of its genre. So that people are going, well, what is this? Is it a romance or is it a spy thriller? And you need to keep it a clean spy thriller. So they took that whole romance out, and that was that.
Now, there are two things. The theme song, because we had an Irish involvement there, and then how it did at the box office. But kind of we know it did well based on the fact that there were so many more versions of Mission Impossible 2 and 3 and so on.
Well, Tom Cruise came to Larry Mullen and from U2 and Adam Clayton because he loved their driving percussive stuff. And so he said, any chance you could come up with a really sexy new interpretation of the TV Mission Impossible theme? And Larry and Adam delivered a sensational track that became an international hit and was nominated for the Grammy. So that was a very successful thing.
Yeah. Now, the critics, did they like it? And then we'll talk money.
The critics were mixed because the critics' consensus was that it's full of special effects and Brian De Palma's update, you know, it has a lot of sweeping spectacle, but the plot is sometimes convoluted. But the New York Times said, if the story doesn't make a shred of sense on any number of levels, so what? Neither did the television series. So from that point of view, it was good. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the $70 million budget, did they spend it all, I presume? And what did Cruise get for his efforts?
Cruise decided to defer his $20 million fee. And that if the film was a success, which he felt in his heart it was going to be, that he would get a very big slice of the box office. And the film took $457 million. So kerching, kerching for Tom. And that he's been going on kerchinging since with all the other ones. And they just get better and better. I just love Mission Impossible as a concept. And to do it for this slot for today, I just thought you might as well start at the beginning, go to the first one.
All right. Well, I'm going to go back to the first one, and I know I'll continue on with the rest of them because they're hugely enjoyable. A lot of corn in there as well, and testing your credibility, I suppose, or the credibility of the makers, but hugely enjoyable. So Mission Impossible, as recommended by Bill Hughes, television producer with Mind the Gap Films.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.